context is what can make an epidemic explode or make an epidemic shrink. So what really matters are the little things. The power context says you don't have to solve the big problems to solve crime or anything else. It also says that our interstates are often the result of outer circumstances. Now, I'm a big believer in we're the director of our interstates, but here's what I want to have you think about. There was a study done that many of you probably remember reading about if you studied psychology at all. It was called the Zimbardo study. It was done in Northern California. Stanford University decided to do a study, and they created a fake prison. How many remember reading about this sometime in the past? Any of you? Only a few of you. Here's what they did. Philip Zimbardo was the guy that put it together. He put a mock prison together at Stanford in the 1970s. And here's what he wanted to study. Is prison life so horrible because of prisoners or because of the way prisons are set up? And his belief when he started was criminal behavior is what generates the environment, not the environment creates the behavior. He was changed by his own experiment. Here's what he basically did. He created a 35-foot section of a cell block in the downstairs section of the psychology department. He got 75 applicants, and he and four other people gave them psychological tests, and he picked 21 of the healthiest and most normal people. He took those healthy, normal people and cut them in half, made half of them guards, and half of them were going to be inmates. Then here's what he did. He hired the Palo Alto Police Department to go pick these people up at their homes, book them, literally handcuff them, put them in the back of a real police car, take them to the police station, take mug shots of them, fingerprint them, then blindfold them, drive them to Stanford University, take them into this fake prison, which looked like a real prison, and then unblindfold them, and they were immediately stripped. They all volunteered for this. They didn't know if they were going to be a prison guard or not. They didn't know the purpose of it. They were stripped, they're given, taken away all identity and given a prison number, and they're only addressed by that prison number from then on. They are now put in this thing, and this became a real experience for everybody. It's as complete as you can imagine. Now, the question was going to be, what would be the natural behavior? And here's what they found out. The prison guards were just normal people. In less than 24 hours, became totally abusive to a man and to a woman, including people that normally thought of themselves as pacifists. The people who were considered to be prisoners completely changed their mentality and began to lose their own identity. Let me read you a passage from his actual journal notes I think you'd find fascinating. Listen to this. He said, "The purpose of my experiment was to try to find out why prisons are such nasty places. Was it because prisons are full of nasty people, or was it because prisons are such nasty environments that make people even more nasty? How much influence does the media environment have on the way people behave in this question?" And then it goes on, and since Zimbardo found out, the answer shocked him. The guards, some of who had previously identified themselves as pacifists, fell quickly into the role of hard disciplinarians. The first night, they woke up prisoners at 2 in the morning and made them do push-ups and line up against the wall and perform arbitrary tasks. On the morning of the second day, the prisoners rebelled. They ripped off their numbers and barricaded themselves in their cells. The guards responded by stripping and spraying them with fire extinguishers and throwing the leader of the rebellion in solitary confinement. They were abusive. They got in people's faces and yelled at them. One guard remembers it was part of this whole atmosphere of terror. As the experiment progressed, the guards got systematically crueler and more sadistic. What Zimbardo said was, quote, "What we were completely unprepared for was the intensity of change that happened when both sides and the speed in which the change happened. Guards making prisoners say began to make prisoners say to one another that they loved each other. They've made them march down the hallways in handcuffs and paper bags on their heads. Quote, it was completely the opposite from the way I conduct myself in real life, a guardsman remembers. I think I was cognitively creative in terms of my total cruelty. After 36 hours, one prisoner began to get hysterical and had to be released. Four more had to be released because of extreme emotional depression. Crying, rage, acute anxiety broke out amongst the prisoners. Zimbardo originally intended to have the prison experiment run for 2 weeks, but he called it off after 6 days because it was endangering the health of everyone involved." Think about it. People played a role based on the context that they were put into. Now, you say, well, maybe these people were just extreme. All these people were tested psychologically, and they picked what they considered to be the most natural and normal people. When they interviewed them afterwards, they all couldn't explain it. Here was one of the prisoners' descriptions, quote unquote. I began to feel like I was losing my identity as the person. I was called blank. The person who volunteered to get in the prison had disappeared. He wasn't even me. I wasn't myself. I was now the number. The person who came into the simulation, he said, I don't even call it that anymore, was distant from me. It was remote until I finally wasn't even that person anymore. I was number 416. I was really my number. I was 416. And 416 was going to have to figure out what to do. That's the level of shift that happened literally within 36 hours to these people, just by changing their context. So we look at somebody and we think, they're so vicious, or they're so mean, or they're so nice. But we see them in a context. If you see somebody, like I know a gentleman that always throws parties, and most people think of him as fun, because we always see him at parties. But if you couldn't throw parties and he wasn't the center in the life of the party, I wonder what he'd be like. Changing context can totally change someone's behavior, completely. He said what he came up with was simply this. There are certain times, places, and conditions where we can take all that we value and have it swept away. When much of what we call our own nature, our own genetics, the reasons we think govern us disappear. What he ultimately said is character isn't what we think it is, or rather what we want it to be. It's a jumble of characteristics or patterns that we've learned to link to the context we lived in most often. I'll give you one more study, one more example here, just to wrap this up, and that is this. A group of psychologists did this in the 20s, and they did it again in the 70s. They did studies on honesty. Raise your hand if you consider yourself to be a very honest person. Not just honest, but a very honest person. Raise your hand if you consider yourself to be a very honest person. Raise your hand. Let me see your hands. Okay, great. Raise your hand if you have been dishonest on more than one occasion. How do you explain that? Because it depends on the context. Here's what they did. They started with school children. Huge group. 20,000 was the first size group in New York City. When they tested kids on psychological skills, math skills, spelling skills, physical agility skills. They tested them in every environment. They tested them in their home environment. They tested them in school environments. They tested them where they scored themselves. They tested them where other people scored them. But all the tests were designed without the kids knowing it to see what their level of honesty would be. Every single test, that was what was behind it. Guess what they found out after 5 years of doing all these tests? Who's dishonest? Almost everyone in some context. Now, that's probably not surprising to you. Here's what else they found out. Girls are just as dishonest as boys. In fact, more dishonest. That's a fact. That's what they found. Second piece. Well, women are going, no way. Second piece. Kids from upper income families cheated just slightly less than those from poor families. Here's what they found out that was really interesting. Everybody cheats in some context. Kids who cheated at school didn't cheat at home. The ones who cheated at home didn't cheat at school. The ones that cheated on math tests didn't cheat on spelling tests. This is in like 90% of the context. Everybody has an infield fly rule. You know what the infield fly rule is? Like, you know, baseball. If this happens, you're out, except if there's one or two men on, there's less than two outs, then the same thing doesn't occur. How many follow this? So honesty, which we think of as a character trait, is contextual. Here's what's true. We, out of our desire for which human need, certainty, simplify human behavior. Because if we had to look at every person that we know and every time judge what they're going to be like this time, we'd go crazy. So we make generalizations about the character of people. And when people behave in a certain way, we look for the character reason rather than the contextual reason, because the contextual reason would make us crazy. This has helped me so much because throughout my history in business, and I bet many of you have had the same experience, how many of you had somebody that you trusted who you thought was honest who stole from you? Let me see a show of hands. Almost every one of us in this room. And you know why? We turned them into criminals. Because if you take a child who's an honest child and they're hungry and you stick them in a candy store with no money and nobody around, what's the chances they're going to take something? How many of you set that person up with no supervision, no checking, they had access to your money? How many had that level of contextual trust and they had stress at some point or desire at some point and they stole from you? Let me see a show of hands. So guess what I decided, like how I've applied this. We just recently did this without me knowing this. Somebody at my office said, we really need to check the way people use cell phones because our cell phone bills amongst our employees are just through the roof. They're insane. People are obviously using this for personal calls, and we never policed it. So I finally agreed, okay, we'll do some spot checks. And we found spot checks, and we found out in a certain section, 20% of our employees were 80% of our bills, and 80% of their calls were personal. Now everybody knows we're checking. Guess what happens to human behavior? Honesty shows up, because there's a context where there is clear order. So what I've decided to do is, I used to think like that makes people feel like you don't trust them. Now what it is I want to help people maintain the character I know they have. So I'm going to make sure there's spot checks and all kinds of things in my businesses that I never had before, because I want to help people make sure that they live the character that I know most of them probably hold as their identity, that the wrong context would invite them not to be a part of. How many followers? By the way, there's a term for this in psychology. It's called FAE. FAE. If you look in your notes here, if you flip over the page, you'll know what it is. It's at the bottom of page 14. It's called the fundamental attribute error. It simply is that we have this idea that attributes are based upon character when often they're based on context. Now, by the way, don't get me wrong. Does genetics play a role in behavior to some extent? Yes or no? Yes. Does nurture, the value structures you've been rewarded for, have an effect on your behavior? Yes or no? Yes. But there are also contexts that play a huge role in how people are. There's some people, no matter what you do, they never steal, because those value structures are so built into their pain pleasure mechanisms as a human being. But there are plenty of other people that are normally honest that in a particular context will be dishonest. It's not just honesty, it's understanding context. Here's another example. They've done studies where they have people shooting baskets, basketball arena. One group is in a well-lit arena shooting free throws. The other one is in an arena that's virtually dark. Who do you think performed better? Well-lit. Would that be predictable, yes or no? But when they take a group of people, any group of people at any level of intelligence, and they ask them to rate after watching 30 minutes of free throws of both groups, which group of people is more skilled in the game of basketball free throws, guess what 95% of them say? The ones in the well-lit place, even though they can see that the other one is virtually dark. Because even though logically we know things, we go for the simple certainty solution. And we do this in so many areas of our life. Now, knowing this can help you to make better decisions because you notice your own biases, but also in knowing this can help you to influence things if you want to figure out how to be able to turn this in terms of creating an epidemic. So think about the power of context and what it'll mean.